Tonight we are continuing to look at the proof of the Bible. A lot of people ask questions, and we're breaking this series up into different subjects. So we've been looking at the Bible, and many people ask the same question over and over again. That's what that's one of the beautiful things about being a witness. The Lord makes it easy for us because the lost have the same questions you had before you were saved. Lots of people just ask the same questions. So if we want to be ready to give an answer, it's good for us to think about what questions do people ask you? What questions do people ask me? One of the most common questions is, of course, how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? How do we know that it's true? And that's why the Bible says, be ready always to give an answer. Every man that asketh of the hope that is the reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. As we go through this series, remember the Lord says, with meekness. Now there's a reason for that. Anything that we learn in this series is not something that you and I have discovered for ourselves. I am not. This is not original material. There have been discoveries even by biblical archaeologists and historians throughout the centuries. None of this material is original, but even they did not discover it because it is the very Word of God. And so God says we need to present His truth in meekness because this is His Word. His Word is truth. And we have the privilege of sharing the truth of His Word. We can't be proud about it. See, as soon as you and I become proud about what we know, we become no better than the average atheist who thinks he knows everything. Amen? We are there to win a soul, not to win the argument. So we need to do so in meekness and with fear. Why fear? Just a reminder tonight. Why fear? Well, in fear of a holy God who has said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. The Lord said, if you don't believe that I am He, you will perish. So a person's eternal destiny hinges upon what they believe. So we need a witness in fear, knowing that, you know, this is serious. This is a serious call to be a witness, but it's an exciting one, amen? Because the Lord is seeking to save. Tonight we're going to look at after that little introduction, the question again, how can we prove the Bible's the Word of God? How do we know? Well, the Bible's reliability proves it. So just one blank tonight. Made it easy on Wednesday night. One word, the Bible's reliability. The Bible's reliability. What does that mean? Well, friends, the Bible is no ordinary book. Amen? It is unlike any other written material that has ever existed down through the history of mankind. There is no literature, no historical writing, no religious writing, anything like the Holy Bible. Nothing is like it. The Bible's reliability proves that this is just not an ordinary book. In fact, it proves false what people think about the Bible and the lies that they believe about the Bible. The Bible is, in fact, a miracle of God. And it's reliable. It can be believed. Why is that? Well, one of the most common arguments against the Bible, especially the Old Testament, is that because of the copies that have made down throughout the centuries, over time, because men copied the Bible, we know that men wrote the Bible, God authored it, but men copied the Bible, is that right? And we know what the Bible says about preservation, but someone might ask you, and maybe they have already, you know, throughout the centuries of copying, doesn't that mean that just through human error, the Bible's changed? What we have today is not what they originally wrote. You know, have you ever played a game of Chinese whispers? Someone says something at the beginning, and by the end, it's totally different. And that's with the people sitting in a circle right now. What about hundreds of years ago? Now, we looked at many things that prove the Bible to be true in that regard, but tonight we're going to look at a few more. And people will say to you, well, it's changed over the years. You know, the Old Testament, I mean, that's been copied up time after time after time, and that's changed. And that's a good opportunity for you and I, when someone makes a statement like that, to speak up and be ready to give an answer. Amen? Ready to say, actually, did you know that's not true? That's, in fact, a lie. Now, let's look at some things this evening. Who was it? Let me ask you a question. Who was it that God left responsible to copy and to preserve the Old Testament scriptures. Brother Hugh, the Jews. Look there in your notes, Romans chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, just so we know what the Bible says. And Paul said it very simply, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the what? The oracles of God. The very words of God were given to the Jews. Now, what did the Jews do with the Bible? Now, historically, there is much evidence available to reveal to us that their preservation of the Old Testament scriptures was not an ordinary process. I mean, we are talking about Jews. We are talking about Jews who had specific... specific classes of men whose sole occupation was to copy and to preserve the scriptures. Friends, that does not take place with any historical writing in the world or ever has, any religious writing in the world. The Jews had classes of men, scribes, lawyers, Masoretes, whose sole responsibility was this, the Word of God. That is amazing. That's a historical fact, by the way. And you can say that. They were fanatical about keeping the scriptures. If an error was made in the process of a copy, they would throw out the entire book. They would chuck out the entire thing that was written on a papyrus, on that sheet that they were writing on. They would throw it away. They would render that whole thing useless because of one mistake. They were fastidious. They were very serious about the accuracy of the scriptures. As you know, the Jewish priests were responsible to care for the scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 31, there in your notes. And the Jews preserved the Old Testament text as no other manuscript or writing in the world has ever been preserved. Now, here's an interesting fact. When a book was written, they counted every alphabetical letter in that book. Now imagine opening up the book of Genesis and counting how many A's appear in the book of Genesis. Just count it up. And then letter B. Now that's in the English, of course. Then letter C, so forth. They counted up every alphabetical letter to make sure that the copy matched the original and so on. You see, that's how detailed they were when they copied the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. They made sure that it matched up with the middle letter of the previous copy. So they found out what the middle word was, and they compared that to what they copied. If that word was off, then they started again. So you see, the Jews were very serious. Why? Because they believed that every jot and tittle, every punctuation mark and every accent mark was the Word of God. So they were serious. They were very serious. And when it comes to the writings of the world, you know, Greek philosophers, for example, their writings are held in great reputation in the universities of today. Their writings are sometimes required reading by our high school students or university students. And scholars accept them to be accurate and to be reliable, and yet no writing in the world has ever undergone such an accurate and critical process of reproduction. That's the Old Testament. That's good for us to know these things, because it's good for us to be excited about these things. And it's good for us to know that, hey, when someone says, oh, look, the Bible has just been copied over the years and it's been changed, they're just speaking out of ignorance. They don't know. They don't know this book. But we do. It's good for us to have an answer, to say, actually, that's not true. Can I quickly share something with you? And just sow a thought in their mind, something to chew on. Something to look up. Maybe they'll let you come back with some more material to put in their letterbox or hand to them at the door if we're door knocking. Something to bring back. And if you need more information, this is just some digestible information. I've summarized some material down for this series, so just some easily understandable info that we can share in witnessing. But there is more. There's much more. If you need more, come and see us. I'm happy to give you some direction to some good books, links on the internet. But there is much to prove the reliability of the Word of God. The reliability. Now, the Dead Sea Scrolls are an amazing proof of the historical accuracy of the Bible, the supernatural accuracy of the Bible. So there in your notes, I've put a little bit of information. What do we know about the Dead Sea Scrolls? Well, they were discovered between 1947 and 1956 in 11 caves near the northwest shore of the Dead Sea, which is 20 kilometers south of Jerusalem. Now, a boy who was a goat herder, and can you imagine named Muhammad of all? His name was Muhammad. You know, the Lord has a sense of humor. Amen. A boy named Muhammad was searching for his lost goat, and he stumbled upon these caves where he found the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the miracle of preservation was found in the fact that because of the as you know, the Dead Sea is the lowest body of water in the world, 1,300 feet below sea level, that dry climate preserved the writings, the dryness of the climate. And among the scrolls that were discovered, among the writings, the Isaiah scroll was the most overwhelming because all 66 books of the book of Isaiah were present in the discovered writings. Now, they dated the Dead Sea Scrolls to be somewhere between 150 to 100 BC. So that's 100 years BC. Now, the oldest manuscript of the Old Testament that's available today that we have, the oldest copy, is 900 AD. So 100 BC, the Dead Sea Scrolls, 900 AD, the Masoretic text, the Old Testament text. How many years is that altogether? Difference? 1,000 years. So we have a great opportunity to compare what does the Dead Sea Scrolls reveal about the oldest copy we had in existence, 900 AD, of the entire Old Testament text. So, what did they discover? What did they discover? Well, what's the significance of the Dead Sea Scrolls? 39 books of the Old Testament were found among the Dead Sea Scrolls. The only book that wasn't there was the book of Esther. They, not entire books, as I said, Isaiah was the only entire book that was discovered, but portions of the other books of the Old Testament were discovered. Well, what's the significance of that? Well, it shows us that the Old Testament canon, the compilation of Old Testament books we have today, is accurate. 1,000 years later, it was the same books in the Old Testament. Esther was not present, but every other book was. Every other book was. Now, that's a small truth. But the most amazing truth is that over 1,000 years of copying, the only differences that were found were minor differences. Differences that did not change the meaning of the words. And I put a little bit of information in there for you. But the Dead Sea Scrolls, no matter what Wikipedia says, Wikipedia is anti-God. It is not of God. If you want to find some facts about, I don't know, Toyota, go ahead. But if you're looking for facts about God, don't go to Wikipedia. There's an agenda there. You know, some of us sometimes go on the internet and we think, well, we can just surf the internet and look for an answer to a question we have from anywhere and any place, and we'll just believe whatever is said to us and assume that person has any kind of credibility, even Wikipedia. No, it doesn't. But the reality is, the truth is, those who have looked into the accuracy of the Dead Sea Scrolls have stated very plainly that the changes are so minor, they are irrelevant. And the text is the same after 1,000 years. So you can say to someone when they ask you, well, have you heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls? You know, after 1,000 years, the text didn't change. That's a miracle of God. Amen. And that's also a testimony to the faithfulness of the Jews. Now, you can go to Jerusalem, to the Museum of Israel's History, the Shrine of the Book in Jerusalem, and you can see both the great Isaiah scroll and the Masoretic Old Testament scripture right there in the museum. You can go and see for yourself. You can say that to someone as well. You know, if you want to see the facts, go and see for yourself. It's right there. It's open for everyone to see. It's not hidden in a dungeon somewhere, and we're just saying what we think we want to believe. No, it's there, available in a glass case. Have a look. You know, the Dead Sea Scrolls prove, without a shadow of a doubt, what we believe, that God preserves His Word. No, it hasn't changed. The Bible is reliable. The Bible is a book that is nothing like any other writing available today. Well, let's quickly go on to the New Testament. Now, people say, well, the Old Testament has been copied over hundreds of years. What do they say about the New Testament? I remember when I first became a Christian, I was witnessing to some family friends, and this guy got really angry. And he got so angry, I got angry. Have you ever been in that position before? Yeah. Your heart starts beating and you don't know what to say and you just get angry. And he said to me, well, you know, the writers of the Gospels and the New Testament, they weren't even alive when Jesus existed. They weren't even alive in his time. And I was thinking, oh, you know, I was thrown off and I didn't have an answer. And I mentioned a couple of things. He didn't want to listen anyway. By the way, there's some people that want to know an answer. Some people that just will attack you. You need the wisdom to know what to say when. But the New Testament, what do we know about the writers? When was it written? If it was written, you know, 500 years after Christ, well, we might as well, you know, think, well, you know, they've lied, because the apostles very plainly told us that they were eyewitnesses of these things. Notice there in your notes, 2 Peter 1:16. Why don't we read that verse out loud together? 2 Peter 1:16, on to 1:2. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. So who wrote this book? It's called 2 Peter. Who wrote this book? It was Peter. How do we know? He said so. Now, the average Joe isn't going to buy that, we understand. But we know that that's the reality. Peter wrote the book of Peter. And he is the one who said, we were eyewitnesses of these things. We were eyewitnesses. We saw with our very eyes the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were in His presence. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. John said, I touched Him. Amen. I saw Him. I was with Him. I even touched His body. 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. So the writers of the New Testament declare what they've written as eyewitness testimony. And they did not live 500, 1,000 years after Christ. No, they either were with Christ during His ministry, or they saw the risen Saviour, and they did not live hundreds of years afterwards, so that they would not know those who knew Him during His earthly ministry. Now, we know that's what the Bible says. But people will say, well, you know, how can you prove that? How can you prove that the Bible was written earlier on, and we believe it was written before 100 AD, even up to 70 AD, the Bible most likely was completed. But it was certainly completed within the first 100 years AD. How do we know that? How do we know it wasn't written hundreds of years later, or the Catholic Church says, you know, 300 AD? How do we know? Well, if you go to a Christian bookstore today, you'll find books on the shelves about God. Now, I'm not recommending that you buy any, but you can say this to someone who asks you a question. These are church leaders of today. And in those books, you'll find references to Bible verses. Because when they're teaching about a subject of faith and writing a book, they'll include verses from the Bible in those books to be a help to others. Did you know that we have historical evidence of early church leaders who wrote letters to fellow believers quoting from the Bible, quoting from the Word of God? They wrote letters to fellow believers, documents, and those documents prove, because they quoted from books of the Bible, that it was already in existence. there in your notes, just one example. Just one example. Polycarp, an early church father, in his letter to the Philippian church in about 115 AD. So we're not talking 200 AD, 300 AD, 4, 5, 6. No, 115 AD, there are almost 50 clear quotations taken from these books. Matthew, Luke, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, go on, and you'll see that the only book that's missing is the book of Jude. The only book that he did not quote from was the book of Jude.
Should have read it.
Yeah. So, what's the point? You see, in the first 100 years of Christianity, there were Christians just like us who wrote material. There were David Clouds, amen, that wrote letters. They quoted from the Word of God. They wrote encouraging letters to fellow believers. They weren't writing the Word of God. It was already divinely inspired. Once given by God to men, inspired of God, they had the Scriptures, but they were also writing, referencing the Bible. In fact, Dr. J. Harold Greenlee observes that these quotations from early church leaders in their writings from the New Testament, he says that the New Testament could virtually be reconstructed without the Bible from their writings. That's how much of the New Testament they had in their own letters and documents to one another. So when someone says, well, it was written hundreds of years later, and, you know, they made it up, they didn't even know Christ, he was long gone, that's an absolute lie. An absolute lie. There is emphatic historical evidence to prove that within the first century, the Bible had already been written. The Catholics did not write our Bible, amen? The Catholics did not write the Word of God. That's a lie. And we have solid, unshakable evidence that the Bible was written during the first 100 years. Now, here's another truth. The enemies of God also attest that the Bible was around and flourishing during their lifetimes. You see, there were those that hated Christianity, and they hated it so much that they wanted to get rid of it. Remember Diocletian. Remember that we looked at in one of the first lessons in this series. He gave an edict. The Caesar at the time, Diocletian, gave an edict throughout all the Roman Empire that Christians were to be, that their churches were to be destroyed and their scriptures were to be destroyed also. When was that? In the second century. I think I wrote it down in my notes, 200 AD, second century, and he gave that edict out. Well, if there were no scriptures, then there was nothing to destroy. You see, even in the records, historically speaking, of those who did not believe in Christ, they speak about their writings, their scriptures. Here's one. I put it in your notes. Celsus, who was a bitter opponent of Christianity, who was born in the early second century, referred to the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as part of the sacred books that Christians were using during his day. So, these are some helpful things to know, just to be able to give an answer. And someone just spits out a lie that they heard from someone else. Well, the Bible's changed. No, it hasn't. It hasn't. It hasn't changed. There is proof. There's internal evidence within the Word of God. Thy Word is settled in heaven. Amen? We know that. There's historical proof. There's archaeological proof. There are many proofs. Would you like to know more? Can I come over sometime and have a cup of coffee and talk with you more? That's what we need to be ready to do, to give an answer. I hope these little notes will be a help and a blessing, just to be able to give an answer. Even historical writings outside of Christianity prove that the Scriptures were already in existence by the second century. Lastly, just an interesting fact. The evidence of the New Testament manuscripts are overwhelmingly greater and more reliable than any other work of ancient literature that has ever existed. There's a list of many popular writings by some by Greek philosophers, Caesar, go down the list all the way to the bottom. Can you see the New Testament there? Yep. Notice one above, Homer's Iliad. Has anyone heard of that before?
Homer, yeah.
The writing of Homer? The great Greek philosopher. Some of you unfortunately maybe had to read his writings in school or about him. Anyway, so You may know about him. When was his writings written? Notice in the written column, 900 BC. Okay? 900 BC. Now follow me for a second. What's the earliest copy we have available today? Well, it's 400 BC. So that means that there's 500 years difference between when it was originally written, when Homer was alive, and then the newest copy we have is dated about 400 BC. So 500 years in between. How many copies are in existence? 643. Now, notice quickly the New Testament. When was that written? Well, between 50 and 90 AD. What's the earliest copy? Well, between 100 and 125 AD. How many years difference between the earliest copy we have and when it was originally written? Well, only 20 or 30 years. So what's more reliable? Here's the question. What's more reliable? How many copies are in existence? Have a look there. 5,600 copies of the New Testament are in existence compared to 7 copies of Plato's writings. And the difference there is even greater, 1,250 years. So what's the point? Well, scholars all agree that we have the original writings of these great philosophers, when they may not even have existed in the mind of an atheist who says Jesus Christ didn't exist. In fact, the Bible is a reliable, more reliable evidence about the life of Christ, who he is, his divinity, than the very existence of Plato himself and his own writings. But see, people just don't know the evidence of the Bible. Now, this is just a little nugget of a huge subject on apologetics. But just some thoughts that might help you in your witness. And of course, it's exciting to learn these things as believers and strengthens our faith. But more so, let's be ready to have an answer. If you weren't able to give an answer to a question, and this is one of the motivations behind this series, that's just something that God has allowed for us to learn from. To go away from and think, well, how could I have given that person an answer? What proofs are there? So we're going to continue to enjoy these, but I hope that you've seen tonight very briefly that the Word of God is without compare. Without compare. There is nothing compared to the Bible. Why was there a huge hoo-ha about the King James Bible during its anniversary? Well, even the world recognized the literary excellence and the historical excellence of this book itself, the New Testament, the King James Bible, the what we believe is the Word of God. Even the world, during its anniversary, to a measure, recognized its excellence. And sometimes, as Christians, we need to learn a little bit more about the Bible and say, "Wow, you know." Any textbook, any religious writing, no other religion has evidence of reliable manuscript replication and historical facts as the Word of God. Infallible proofs are for us to know and to use in our witnessing.